Praise the Lord. I don't really have a text. I just have a Bible full of texts. If I had a text, it'd probably be Luke 13:3, maybe Luke 13:5, would say the same thing. I tell you nay, but except you all repent, or except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Repentance is something that's very elusive, it seems like, to me, especially in this day when everybody's trying to justify their sin, if not other people's sins. It seems to me that since the beginning of time, men have always attempted to justify their sins. Just a little bit. Thank you, brother. So just a little echoey here. I said that since the beginning of time, men have always attempted to justify their sins.
Amen.
Have you noticed that?
Yes,
I have. I mean, if I do it, it's all right. I don't care what the church says, the preacher says. I don't even care what the Bible says or what Jesus Christ says. If I do it, it must be all right. That's the stinking attitude that prevails in the world, and it's probably been around since the beginning of time. But it seems to me that men have always sought for an excuse to sin. Wouldn't it be refreshing to find people that hated sin so much that they weren't looking for an excuse to sin, they were looking for an excuse to worship and praise God? We don't need one. Amen. But it just seems to me that men have always attempted to justify their sins, and they're always looking for an excuse for sin. Or it seems to me, too, from my observations in life, that when men are caught in sin, they always, or almost always, look for someone or something to blame for their sin. I didn't do it. The devil made me do it. I didn't do it. My wife made me do it. I didn't do it. It was an accident. You know, if you've ever worked in a Christian school or a public school, you know that that young people, young boys especially, probably girls too, they cheat and lie just like everybody else, all born in sin, right?
Yeah.
To go forth telling lies as soon as they're estranged from the womb, the Bible says. So let's not fool ourselves. We're all in this ship together. Amen.
Amen.
We have all been born in sin, shaped in iniquity. There is none that is righteous in himself. No. Amen. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have gone astray like a sheep, the Bible says. Okay, so it seems to me that it's so hard for men to repent of their sins. And by the way, there are certainly at least two kinds of sorrow or repentance. And one is, I'm sorry I got caught.
Yeah.
The other one is, I'm sorry I did it.
Yeah.
Now, if you ever want to help your child when you're raising her, him, you want to make sure that they're sorry they did it, not sorry they got caught. Because if they're sorry they got caught, they're going to do it again.
Yeah.
In my jail work, whenever I've gone to the jail and tried to help people, it's been a situation where the men have said, get me out of here, I'm really sorry, and they'll cry and cry. But when they get out, they'll do the same thing, and they're right back in jail again. So they're sorry they got caught. Some truly repent and become preachers like Ted Jefferson and a host of others. Good prison preachers today. But there are two types of repentance. I'm sorry I got caught, and I'm sorry I did it. The founding pastor of this church taught us, my wife and I in particular, when we were young people in the church, growing up, getting saved, filled and refilled with the Holy Ghost in those wonderful days, he taught us, his definition of repentance was being so sorry you did something that you never do it again. Isn't that a good definition for repentance?
Amen. Amen.
That decides whether or not you have really repented. I'm so sorry I did it that I'll never do it again. Now that's the attitude that we should have. How many would agree with that? Praise the Lord. Amen. So now, people looking for an excuse to sin. I have, in the past several decades at least, I have come across one of the latest, maybe not the latest, I have come across another excuse for people to sin. And young people can get caught up in that trap. And even older people who want to be popular, famous, well-known, exciting, crowd drawing. Everybody's got to hear me because I'm so experienced in sin. Okay, let me tell you what it is. And maybe I could call this when it's good to sin. Or maybe I could call this lesson today how to be a more effective witness for the Lord.
Amen.
And that's, you can hear the snake in there. You know, when I'm finished, you'll find out what I mean. But how to be, the devil comes and whispers in your ear and says, how to be a more effective witness for the Lord. Say, young man, wouldn't you like to be a more effective witness for the Lord? Well, let me tell you how to do it. You just go out and backslide. You just go out and experience all those sins that you haven't experienced. Go out and get stone drunk. Go out and maybe be a little immoral or a lot immoral, you know? And do those things that you've never done because you were raised in the church. You never had opportunity to live in sin. How can you relate to your generation? You can't relate to your generation, young man. So go on out and backslide and do all those things and come back to the Lord and get gloriously refilled with the Holy Ghost. And the pastor's going to put you up behind the pulpit because you are so experienced in sin and you've got such a great testimony. You're really going to draw the crowds and attract the young people. Oh, you're going to be able to relate to them. What a trick of the devil.
Amen. Right. Amen.
Can't you hear the psst, Satan's subtle schemes?
Yeah.
Oh, what a trickster he is.
Amen.
Okay, so I've talked to several backsliders in my life, and maybe more than several, depending how you define the word several. You know, several dozen, several hundred, or several few. But in these interviews that I've had with them, and they've obliged me, you know, and said, yes, go ahead and ask me questions, I would explain, first of all, my reason for requesting an interview with them. I told them that I have met several people in my Christian walk who actually think, because they're deceived, so please understand my language, think they believe. They say they believe. They act like they believe. They talk like they believe it. But really, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and just tell you that I believe they're totally deceived, and so they think they believe that they will be a more effective witness for Jesus if they first experience the same sinful life that others who have never been saved are living in, so that they can better relate to them. Well, I'll never forget when I met an atheist one time, and I've told this before, little bits and pieces here and there. This man was an avowed atheist. He was full of the devil. I felt it. trying to stay out of the details here. There's so much to tell in this story. But anyway, I witnessed to this man and witnessed to him. He would come to our house because when he crossed the threshold into our house up on 1110 Locust Street, there was something that he felt. He felt a peace in our home. And though he was an atheist and though he was living for the devil as hard as he could, he still felt something in our home, and he wanted to have a home like my wife and I had. And so, to make a long story short, Brother Richard S. Davis baptized him right over here. He received the Holy Ghost and became a missionary to Brazil. And he died at age 43 of cancer. I ride my bicycle over to the cemetery and visit him quite often. The place. He's in heaven. I know that. You know I know that.
Yeah.
Don't you know I know that?
Yeah.
Amen. I said that this man got saved. And then we were out witnessing one day, and I was talking to a young man here, and he was an atheist. And so I said, just a minute. And I went over to Brian Wiseman, and I said, Brother Brian, would you come and witness to this man? He's an atheist, and you can relate to him. He rebuked me. He said, what do you mean, me witness to him? What do you mean I can relate to that atheist? Who witnessed to me? He said, who won this atheist to the Lord? He pointed at himself. And I got a revelation right there. You don't need to live in sin to relate to somebody in sin. You yourself were born in sin and just as much a hell-bound sinner as any atheist has ever been. We needed the grace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ just as desperately as anybody with a big-time testimony.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I explained my reason for interviewing these atheists, you know, and I realized they're deceived. And I'll tell you, we heard something in the camp, and I want to quote it here. But I personally believe that these people who are saying, I'm going to go back in sin so I can better relate to my generation and be a bigger, better soul winner and a more effective witness for Jesus Christ, I personally believe that they have been adoring or idolizing or worshiping someone else that's living that lifestyle.
Right.
Whether it be Michael Jackson or some other big timer out there, okay? But I think it was Brother Grant that said at camp, whatever you worship is what you become like. And when you see a backslidden Pentecostal young person looking like them out there, chances are great that they've been adoring, they've been idolizing, they've been worshiping that person out there, and they're becoming like them.
Right.
I think it was Brother Grant, wasn't it? He went on and said, look at these animal rights activists. He says, they're becoming like animals.
Right.
Well, praise the Lord. So I think it was Brother Grant said, whatever you worship is what you will become like. And so therefore I can't help but believe that they are telling themselves and others a lie.
Right.
To hide or to cover up a hidden desire to be like the idol that he or she worships. And we need to pray for these people. We're groaning, which cannot be uttered. We really need to get in the spirit and pray for any backslidden young person that you know, because no adulterer is going to go to heaven. You know, no fornicator, the Bible says so. They're just not going. Doesn't matter if they talk in tongues every morning. They're not going. That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
There's no such thing as good sin. Some people argue and say, well, what about Luke 7:47? And I preached a full-blown sermon on that one, and I'd like to preach it again because, oh, to me, it's such a revelation. Jesus, this woman, had come into Simon the leper's house, Simon the Pharisee, remember? And she fell at Jesus' feet, and she shed enough tears to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hairs of her head. And Simon, the Pharisee, rebuked Jesus for doing that. And Jesus forgave her, but not him. You know why? She was an admitted sinner. He wasn't. He would not admit himself to be a sinner. He would not admit that he was a sinner. And so Jesus couldn't help him. You've got to admit it. That's the first step to getting saved. You've got to know you're lost. You're out in the woods at night hunting and get lost, and you're miles and miles from hell. You don't know you're lost, you probably starve to death, dehydrate, or something. So Jesus said to Simon, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And I had an experience on that. I just can't take the time today to tell you, but oh. Anyway, with this verse, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. To whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. That does not mean, it cannot mean, that the more I sin, the better able I am to love Jesus.
Right.
It cannot mean that.
Amen.
Then the guy who had the most women can love Jesus more than the guy who kept himself pure. That's not right.
Amen.
So that cannot be what Jesus is saying.
Amen.
What is he saying then? I've been through it on this verse from age 16 on because I had an experience back then. Dying to tell you. Don't have time. Jesus is not referring to actual sins committed when he said her sins, which are many, are forgiven her. Jesus is referring to her acknowledgement of sin and her repentance of sin.
Amen. That's right. Yeah.
The main characters in this story are Jesus, Simon the Pharisee, and the sinner woman. The sinner woman repented with a flood of tears. A flood of tears. Sufficient to wash Jesus' feet in. And the Pharisees are noted for self-righteousness. The sinner woman knew she needed Jesus. The Pharisee didn't know it. He didn't know that he needed Jesus. Do you remember the parable that I might run into Bible students? Disagreements here, I don't know. But do you remember the parable of the 100 sheep in Luke 15? Let me read it to you. Now, get this. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners. Publicans and sinners, synonymous terms, you might say. Publicans were noted to be sinners. For to hear him. Luke 15, 2. And the Pharisees and scribes, not quite synonymous, but the same group. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And Jesus spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep? And most people preach that 99 of the 100 were saved and one was a backslider. That's not the way I believe it. I believe 100 sheep were all lost.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And one acknowledged it.
Amen.
And got saved.
Amen.
Who's he talking to? Pentecostals? He's talking to Pharisees, scribes, publicans, and sinners.
Right.
What message would he have for them? Listen. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?
Yeah.
And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Can you produce, can you come forth with one person who needs no repentance? Then we're going to have to do some reversals with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. He died in vain.
That's right.
If we're not all lost, he died in vain.
Yeah.
If there was somebody saved, he wouldn't have had to die. And if somebody couldn't be saved without Jesus, he would not have had to die. There would have been another way.
Right.
But when Jesus came, he didn't say, I am one way among many ways to get saved. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It takes Jesus to make it to heaven, friend. It takes the Lord Jesus Christ and his death on Calvary's cross for any one of us to be saved. Praise the Lord. Need no repentance? 99 sheep need no repentance? Oh, yes, they do. Jesus said in Luke 13:3, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. In Acts 17:30, Paul was preaching, and he said that God now commandeth all men everywhere, all men, bar none, everywhere, to repent. Amen. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Sweeter words have never been heard. Remember when you heard that?
Yeah.
You came to this old-fashioned Pentecostal altar with a load of guilt bowed over, and you left with your shoulders squared, a smile on your face, drying the tears of repentance from your eyes. And you heard those words, neither do I condemn thee. What sweet words. Neither do I condemn thee. But let's finish the sentence. Go and sin no more. I don't condemn you now. Go and don't backslide. Go and don't backslide. You see, it's common. It has been common over the years, especially in some other areas that I have been in. Well, I'll just tell you one of them. I was in the church of Kentucky. Nothing against Kentucky. But 14 people got up and testified how the Lord saved them. Then I said to my pastor friend, I said, hey, Brother Herb, I said, 14 people just got the Holy Ghost in your church? Yep, he said. Yep, he said. The same 14 that got it in the last revival. Hey, that's not the doctrine that this book teaches. You don't come in and get saved and then backslide and come back and get saved in the next revival and then go out and backslide and then come back and get saved in the next revival.
Amen.
We'd have church buildings that couldn't hold the saved people. You just kept adding them up. No. Amen. 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 Two plus the same two equals two, right?
Yes. Yes.
You know? Okay, so neither do I condemn thee. I said sweeter words were never heard, but go and sin no more. Go and don't backslide. Go and never backslide. Hey, let's not belittle the gospel of Jesus Christ. If he's got power to save us, he's got power to keep us. He's able to save us to the uttermost. He's able to save us from here, the gates of hell, right to the gates of glory. Praise God. That's the power of the gospel. That's the kind of a Lord we serve. He's the good shepherd. We're the sheep. He cares for his own. Nobody's able to pluck them out of his hand. Maybe we can leap out. Nobody can pluck us out of his hand. Stay in Jesus. What about John 9:39? Listen to this. When the blind man from the pool of Siloam was healed, remember, went back to the pool of Siloam and was healed, and they had a big skirmish over that with these 99 sheep, you know, the hierarchy of them at least. And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see might not see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? I think they said it sarcastically. Are we blind also? We who are the lights of Israel, we who are the instructors of the foolish, teachers of babes, we who are the religious hierarchy. I mean, are you saying, mister, that we are blind also? And so they put it in these words, are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say we see. You say you understand, but you don't. Therefore, your sin remaineth. But they were blind. They were blind to gospel truth, even in their Old Testament scriptures. And by the way, every Christian should learn how to lead somebody to Christ without the New Testament. It's a great, great experience. That's all the apostles had. That's all they had. There was no New Testament. They led people to Jesus Christ from the Old Testament. And if you want to have an exciting adventure through your Bible, you just work up a Bible study and get somebody saved without using the New Testament. Try it, will you? Amen. I've done it. I love it. Praise the Lord. That Old Testament will point to Jesus Christ. Amen. See, the Old Testament says, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. Hallelujah. And the New Testament says, he's here, he's come, he's come.
Amen.
The Old Testament looks forward to Calvary. The New Testament looks backward to Calvary. Amen. They did not comprehend Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. They did not comprehend David's prayer of repentance after his affair with Bathsheba. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. You were conceived in sin. I was conceived in sin. Every human being was, or Jesus would not have had to die.
Amen.
You know what we need? We need a new and a fresh appreciation for Jesus and Calvary.
Amen.
That's what we all need every day.
Hallelujah.
Every day. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. They failed to understand the purpose for the coming of the Messiah. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. They didn't need him. They didn't love him. They didn't want him, because in their blinded eyes, they never were lost. Aren't you glad you see today? Aren't you glad you had your eyes washed with tears? Praise the Lord. Aren't you thrilled that Jesus made a way for every one of us to be saved? Praise God. I just thank God. I thank God for the understanding that he's given us, that if anyone was good enough to be saved, Jesus would never have had to die. The very fact that he died proves, the very fact that infinite wisdom died, proves that none of us could be saved without him. Have you ever witnessed and talked to people who say, well, that's your interpretation of scripture. I believe in Muhammad. I believe in Buddha. Something else. You know? And society is trying to get us to be politically correct.
Yeah.
And deal with these people compassionately and kindly. If I'm going to deal with them compassionately and kindly, I've got to tell them, without Jesus, you don't have a chance.
Amen. That's right.
That world we're living in today is, it's a mess. Amen. Okay, back to my original thought. We have been washed whiter than snow in the precious blood of Jesus. Why would we ever want to go back on our salvation into sin so that we can get an improved testimony for the Lord? And that's what people are doing. I have talked with them. But Brother Denver, I'll be a better witness. I'll be able to relate. Just look at so-and-so. Yes, look at so-and-so, the great basketball player that's had so many women and probably dying of AIDS or something. Oh, sure. Man, he got saved. Get him behind the pulpit. Let him tell his story. I say, no. Get him in the pew and let him listen to some teaching and some preaching from the Holy Word of God.
Amen.
He doesn't belong behind the pulpit.
Amen.
Not until he's grounded.
Amen.
In the Word
Amen.
Of God.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
We are a people that love to be entertained.
Yeah.
Whether it's music or whether it's some wild testimony of living a rotten, filthy, corrupt life in sin. We just have to be entertained.
Yes,
we have itching ears. I want this. Fill me with this. I don't care if I ever hear one of those testimonies. I don't care.
Amen.
Oh, just
Amen.
Give me this. Just give me
Praise
this.
The Lord.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen.
This word is quick and powerful.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So when somebody goes back into sin to get an improved testimony for the Lord, I have a question. Can I improve on Calvary? Oh, man. I'll tell you, when I thought about this yesterday, I just broke into tears. Can I improve on Calvary? Can I go out and sin more so Calvary can be more meaningful to me? Hear me? If I go out and sin more, will Calvary be more meaningful to me? Not in a billion years, friend. Not in a billion years. It's my acknowledgement of sin that made Calvary real to me in the first place.
Hallelujah.
And that's what'll do it in the last place.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
How lost were you, Sunday schools, at all? You that came up through the classes, right from the cradle roll to the adult Sunday school class? How bad was your sin? All I ever did in my life was steal a package of gum from the grocery store. That's the only sin I can think of that I ever committed. You stole. Where do thieves go?
Right.
Otherwise, pile of sins here and one package of gum stolen here. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. James said, if I break one of the commandments, I'm guilty of them all.
Amen.
People don't like to hear that. And there's more to it than that. But anyway, can I improve on Calvary? If I go out and sin more, will Calvary become more meaningful to me? Shall I fall away and crucify to myself the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame? Hebrews 6:6 warns us against that.
Amen.
Should I crucify to myself afresh the Son of God and put him to an open shame so that I can have a better testimony? That's an awful price to pay. That's an awful price to pay. Oops, I got to hurry. Okay, listen to this. Romans 3:5. But if our unrighteousness, if my sinful life commends the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? Do you understand that?
Yeah.
If our sin makes God's righteousness look better, then Paul is saying here, how can God take vengeance then?
Yeah.
On sinners? I mean, he ought to be framing it and hanging on the walls of glory. Look at this drunken slob, you know. Look at this dope head.
Yeah.
Look at this jailbreaker.
Yeah.
Look at this womanizer. Look, here, I got them all over heaven. Boy, just look at it. You think heaven's going to be plastered with pictures like that?
No.
Do you think that's going to be on his wallpaper in your mansion?
No.
Oh, no, 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 no. We're going to see what the Bible, the book of Revelation says. The blood's going to be wet and fresh. That's what we're going to acknowledge. That's what we're going to see. The price that was paid for a package of gum taken that didn't belong to me. Or a pencil from work. Hey, we need Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen, amen. So, then he says, God forbid. For how then shall God judge the world? If sin makes God look better, if sin improves my testimony, then how's God going to judge a world full of sin? Do you follow me, anybody?
Amen.
Oh, please do.
Amen.
Verse 7, for if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory. Thank you, brother. How? I mean, if it's making me look better and it's making God look better, then why am I judged as a sinner?
Right.
So he says, the next verse. And not as we be slanderous would report it, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. He's saying anybody that thinks like that, their damnation is just. So I want to tell this church, don't think like that. Don't think like that.
Amen.
Don't take the side of any young person or any person that backslides to get a better testimony so he can better relate to this world. Their damnation is just, God Almighty said, because they are violating the Scripture, doing violence to the Scripture. Don't you hear them? Don't you sympathize with it? Pray for them in the Holy Ghost that they'll get back in the pew where they belong.
Amen.
They're looking for a pulpit. They're looking for the wrong place.
Yes.
They need a pew.
Amen.
Until they're established in the Word.
Amen.
Well, I feel very strongly about what I'm saying. I don't mean to offend anybody.
Right.
I sure don't. But Paul said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid!
Amen.
How shall we that are dead to sin, had our sins washed away, been regenerated by the Holy Ghost, become new creatures in Christ, have authority to become the sons of God, how shall we that are dead to that old life live any longer therein?
Yeah.
My purpose here today is to get us to fall more deeply in love with Jesus.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Here are some abused verses real quickly. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I have heard foolish people say that the more I sin, the more grace God gives me. Oh, that's not what he's talking about. I don't have time to elucidate on it. But Titus 1:15, here's another abused scripture. Under the pure, all things are pure. I had a man tell me that I've been purified, my heart's been purified by faith, and when I commit adultery, that's Christian adultery. That's pure adultery. Because under the pure, all things are... That's a fact! I've heard that. Amen. Satan is a liar. He is a
Amen.
Deceiver. The thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. You know that Satan actually has some people believing that if they experience more sin, they'll have a greater testimony for the Lord and his power to deliver from sin? What a lie from the filthy mouth of Satan. What if that person was killed while living in sin? Preacher backslides, takes a woman, gets drunk, they die in a car accident. But God knows his motives. He was going to go back to sin so he had a better sermon to preach. Baloney. Wrong. Wrong.
Amen.
He had great plans, great intentions. No. No, watch it.
Yes.
What if that person that backslid to get a better testimony contracted AIDS? What if that person went out to get a better testimony, killed somebody, and ended up in prison for life? Well, you know, some people would have the excuse that, I think God let me go to prison so I can witness to people there. And, you know, I struggle with another statement I've heard people say. I think I got sick. I got cancer, you know, so I could go to the hospital and witness to somebody. I'd watch out for that.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't come to make you sick and to give you cancer. He came to heal us of all our sicknesses and all our diseases. And if somebody at the hospital needs witnessing, then get on your face and ask God for a burden, not for cancer.
Amen.
Ask God for a burden for somebody at the hospital and go up and witness to them. Don't ask God for cancer so you can witness to them.
That's right.
Hello?
Amen. Amen.
I know I tread on dangerous waters all the time. I don't like people that start going rearing off in the wrong direction.
Amen.
He's a healer.
Hallelujah. Amen.
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 And I want to believe it. I do believe it.
Amen.
I need to believe it because we all need healing at times in our bodies. Listen to this, 2 Peter 2:24. If after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse, not better. I'm going to go out and backslide so that I can have a better testimony. The latter end of them is worse, not better, than the beginning.
Amen.
Your testimony will be worse.
That's right.
God will take you back. He's merciful. If you don't die first, if you don't get killed, if you don't get hardened in your heart and resist and reject Him, and lose out eternally. Listen to it again. If after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled there, they backslide, and they're overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. So don't go back, saints of God. When you come to Jesus, come to get saved and stay saved forever. When you go down in those baptismal waters, that's the burial waters, you go down to die and never come back.
Amen.
You rise to walk in newness of life.
Yeah.
The rest of the way. Amen. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to backslide. To turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. I just want to close with a few statements here. Nothing good ever came from sin. Somebody said, well, if Adam and Eve wouldn't have sinned in the garden, we wouldn't have had salvation. Oh, come on. Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, I have taught on that several times here, and I want to do it again. I don't have time now. But nothing good ever came from sin.
Amen.
Nothing good ever
That's
came
right.
from sin.
That's right.
Amen. Jesus didn't come to make sin look good. Came to destroy the works of the devil. You call ladies? How many have had babies? You call that good? You call that good? Men? Blood. Picking weeds, thistles, thorns. You know? That's what happened from the sin in the Garden of Eden. Where does it say something good came from it? Everything was cursed because of it.
Amen.
And Jesus had to become a curse and hang on a tree to deliver us from
it. Amen.
We've got to understand the gospel. How dare I exalt sin? After all, God in this holy book has expressed His hatred for sin over and over again and again. Amen. One backslider told me that temptations are much greater after experiencing more sin. Don't think you're on a better route. And listen, all these people coming in from the world, they'd have been a whole lot better off. They'd have been brought up in Sunday school.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
They have scars that they'll carry to the grave.
Yes, sir.
Amen. One man said to me, I couldn't sleep, even after I got saved. I mean, before he was saved, he said, I couldn't sleep. I was tormented all night. Another one told me, you lose things when you're out there in the world that you can never regain, like virginity. You lose it, you can never regain it. Never.
Right.
Never. You can be forgiven, but you can never regain it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
One man told me, he said, while I was backslidden, I wanted to come back to God, but I couldn't come back when I wanted to. And then Proverbs 1:28, he told me, the Bible says, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. You don't just come back when you want to. You just don't decide to go out and live in sin and then say, no, I decide to come back. A big danger sign. You can become calloused while you're out there. You can become hard-hearted. Romans 1:28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over. You don't want God in your knowledge? God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Friend, sin never has exalted God, and sin never will exalt God. Jesus had to humble Himself to take care of our sin, not exalt Himself.
Yes.
Amen. So when people come and give their life story here, I think I've said this before, I tell them ahead of time, when you stand behind this pulpit and you give your life's testimony leading up to your salvation, you tell about those times that God dealt with you in your life, but don't ever mention sex and don't ever exalt sin. Make sin look ugly. Make it look filthy. Make it look rotten.
That's right.
Because that's exactly what it is.
Amen.
Make it look destructive because that's what it is. Amen. And we've had some good testimonies come from this pulpit. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Don't backslide. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Backsliding is not acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. No fellowship. Don't backslide and have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather go out there and reprove them, the Bible says, Ephesians 5:12. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. I have priorities. One of my priorities is to hate sin like Jesus hated sin. My priority is to love righteousness like Jesus loved righteousness. My priority is to love Jesus.
Amen.
Like God loved him.
Yes.
That's not Trinity. I'm so oneness. I use Trinity verses explaining the oneness. Drive the Trinitarians. We had a lady come up to the pen, that piano when it was over in the other building. She thought that because this is Pentecostal Assembly, it was Assembly of God. And so she came here and sat in service after service and started liking the church and liking my wife and me. And one day she perceived that there's something different. Is this one of those oneness churches? She had a sheet of paper, scriptures all over it. She came up to the piano. She said, Pastor Danner, I have some questions about this church and the doctrine you teach here. I said, yes, what's that? She said, the Godhead. And she just told me that. And I said, well, what is it? Are you oneness? I said, yes, and this is why. And I quoted the scripture to her and explained it, and I quoted another one and explained it. I quoted another one and explained it, another, and explained it. She looked at her sheet and she said, you didn't know this. You went through all the scriptures I had against oneness. She got the revelation.
Yeah.
She was baptized in Jesus' name.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. I became a strong proponent of oneness.
Yeah.
Amen. God bless you. Would the ushers come?